merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The word of God spoken for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So they make it official, right? Ready to be ordained. And my well goes dry. I could not write this sermon this weekend for the life of me. You know, maybe it had something to do with the fact that, you know, I had 4 hours of ordination interviews and had to talk about my beliefs and on things like the physical resurrection of humans. Like I have the answers, right? But mostly, the truth is, I really just struggled with what to say with this text. It's not an easy text. It is not easy. And I hope that everybody, if you haven't, there's a bookmark in the back that has the Beatitudes, and we're asking everyone to be praying on these for the next month together as one spirit and one heart, because this is not easy. So this morning, we're going to return to the mountainside. Let's set that image up again, right? Jesus is sitting up on the mountain, and his disciples are circled really close to Jesus. And the crowds, they just curiously linger down the side of the mountain. They want to hear what the rabbi, what the teacher has to say. So Jesus has already described blessings for those who God defends. The poor, those mourning for the pain of the world, the meek. The message in these Beatitudes is to lift up at the very bottom from the social order. I want you to keep that in mind. Hold that. Jesus is asking us to lift up the very, very bottom. Lift them up. Jesus calls his disciples to walk in solidarity with these brothers and sisters in acts of justice. It's a life of emptiness, simplicity, and nonviolence. It's a life of radical outrage at the absence of radical love in this world. So Jesus charges us to be radically outraged and to engage in acts of justice that change the social order. The expression of this outrage, though, is the opposite of what we experience in the world. See, oftentimes when we're outraged about something, we're angry, ready to go to battle for it. Right? But Jesus shows us differently. The way to change is God's way. So the second part of the Beatitudes are short wisdom sayings about the practices that reflect God's presence and power. Who is God? God is mercy. God sees with a pure heart. God is peace. God is justice. See, the way to God's kingdom is to live in this world as God is. The means and the end are one and the same. The way to mercy is to be merciful. The way to see God is through a pure heart. And the way to peace is peacemaking. To know God is to do justice. So one of the first lessons that I was taught as a teacher was to use the phrase, I like. Michelle, you know it? Yeah, I learned this. I like how Miguel raised his hand. I like how Saisha just pushed in her chair. Right? Children appreciate attention, and they will seek attention in any way they can get it, whether it's through positive or negative reinforcement. And so often we're tempted to say, don't run, stop talking, and you're constantly engaging those that are doing the things that you don't want done. But by saying don't run, you're not telling them what they should be doing. Oh, don't run? Sure, I'll skip. Right? I'll hop. I'll do somersaults. I had a kid climb a wall once. Like, you know? But when you turn it around and you say, I like, and you focus on the things that are happening that you want to see happening, it's amazing what transpires with everybody else. Oh, she liked that. And it's so funny. I like how he's raising a hand. All of a sudden, you see all these kids go, ooh, especially the littlest, right? They love it. I like. So here's the thing. Jesus does this with the Beatitudes. So if you look back at the Ten Commandments, what do? They tell us everything we shouldn't do. Don't steal. You know, don't lie. Don't murder. But it doesn't emphasize what we should be doing. Jesus in the Beatitudes turns it around and tells us exactly what we should be doing. Happy are the merciful. Happy are the pure in heart. Happy are the peacemakers. Jesus talks with I like statements, making clear the preferred actions. The law no longer convicts us of sin. Instead, it lifts us up, and it becomes a guide for life in relation to God and our neighbors. So let's reflect on each of these Beatitudes briefly. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. God is mercy. So when we pray, we oftentimes pray for mercy. We should also be praying for the way of mercy, of how to be merciful. Mercy and forgiveness are interconnected, and they're similar, in that they must always be offered, unearned, undeserved, and never owed. Never. Richard Rohr asserts in his book, Jesus' Plan for a New World, that mercy and forgiveness are the whole gospel. This is it. Mercy is who God is. Right? If you think about that final moment, humanity did the most ultimate, awful deed ever when they judged, beat, crucified, and killed Jesus on the cross. And Jesus returns and says what? Peace be with you. Forgiven. All of humanity forever forgiven. And there is nothing any one person can ever do that is bigger than that. Which means mercy is for everyone, no matter what. Only a humble person can live in and after mercy, because it actually requires powerlessness to receive and to give mercy. Forgiveness without payment and punishment ever. Forgiveness with affirmation, with inclusion and love. Is the most radical thing to do. In the Bible, it says that you need to forgive 70 times times 7. Sevens are all about perfect. It never stops. You need to forgive again and again and again. And you know why? Because you too need to be forgiven again and again and again. It's reciprocal. Mercy is the most difficult thing, because we tend to want to feel like people should be punished for what they do. God says just the opposite. Mercy. because you too need it. The reality is that it takes a lifetime of received forgiveness to become mercy. A lifetime. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. It's interesting how Jesus connects the heart with our seeing. The focus here is your ability to see God. God is love. God is goodness. God is life. Your heart set influences how you see things. Think about the question whether your cup is half full or half empty. See, we can choose in this really broken world, and it is really a messed up world. You can choose to open your eyes to see beautiful life and be astonished by it. So when I first visited Haiti, I traveled with a team from my seminary. And one afternoon, we were invited to go to a home to make coffee. And I mean, make coffee all the way from roasting beans to grinding beans with a mortar and pestle to, you know, watching it be brewed. It took us all afternoon to make a cup of coffee. All right? Which is funny because later on I shared with one of my friends. I was on the phone with one of my friends and making a cup of coffee. And I said, how long do you think it's going to take me? He's like, 3 hours? I'm like, no, five. Like, if that, right? By the time you pour it in. But while we were standing there at the house, there was a tributary that ran kind of through the compound. There was a series of homes there, the stream that ran through. I looked down, and there was a red backpack buried in the ground. Now, Haiti does not have a system for getting rid of trash. It really is a problem in Haiti. But I looked at this backpack, and it just seemed like it was carelessly tossed. I thought, why wouldn't somebody be using the backpack? Like, why would it be buried in the ground? And so we had all afternoon, and I couldn't stop watching or looking at this backpack for whatever reason. And suddenly, it dawned on me. I realized what was happening. The backpack actually was buried in that spot for a reason. It was part of a dam that directed the thin flow of water to a small garden of plants just on the other side, bean plants. See, what I had originally viewed as trash was part of a brilliant irrigation system. Suddenly, I began to see the cleverness, the ingenuity, the resilience of the Haitian people. It changed the way that I encountered everything else from that point on. The way I encountered the people and the culture. And it has since transformed how I see all things. With a pure heart to see God in all things. To see love and goodness and life. It just so happened that that house is Yaya's house. I didn't know it. He had left to come to the United States the day before we arrived. I met him several months here later in the United States, but it was at his house that I saw the world in a whole new way. See, God is pure in heart. God sees all of us with love and goodness and life. That's the only thing that God sees. The means is to be pure in heart, and the end is seeing God. So Jesus calls us to be pure in heart, to see God in all things, the God of love, the God of goodness, the God of life. Jesus says in Luke, "The lamp of your body is your eye. When your eye is clear, your whole body too is filled with light. But when it is diseased, your body too will be darkened." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. You realize this is the only time in the whole Bible that the word peacemakers is ever used? Only time is right here. A peacemaker is the one who reconciles quarrels. The wonderful counselor, the prince of peace, embodies nonviolence. Here we see Jesus reinforcing the connection between the means and ends. Friends, there is no other way to peace than peacemaking. As Paul VI said, there's no true peace without justice. So this is the primary reason why Jesus calls us to the edges, to walk in solidarity with the oppressed and excluded. So you remember Zacchaeus up in the tree? What does he say to Zacchaeus? Come down. He yells to Zacchaeus, come down. Come down. He's a tax collector. Come down, he says. See, those that live at the top live in a false sense of peace. While all around us, there's violence and suffering. See, it's easy to remain in this false sense of peace, to avoid ever seeing or touching or experiencing the suffering of others, and to cast blame on them, to cast blame their violence and suffering as if they have caused it. You know, here in Reading, the Reading area, it's really easy to never enter Reading. All of our roads go around it. You don't ever have to drive through it. You don't have to go in and see it. You don't have to visit the neighborhoods. It's easy to be in a place where we have a false sense of peace. But we are all connected. We are one body in Christ. And when one part hurts, we all hurt. Our current world reflects it. In our country, people of color and women and children are afflicted by poverty at much higher rates. They also experience abuse and addiction and incarceration at higher rates. Colonized countries in Africa and the Americas, such as Guatemala, Nigeria, and Haiti, rage with extreme poverty. The impact of colonialism and continued oppression is experienced by our neighboring countries. So while Jesus lifts up those at the bottom, he teaches those at the top to come down. Come see the impact of what maintains your false peace. Come down and live simply. Come down and mourn for this hurting world. Come down and live nonviolently. Come down and show mercy. Come down and see God in all things. Come down and make peace. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before. Just as Jesus asks us to never be satisfied with this world and thus do justice, Jesus promises that doing justice will result in persecution. People don't want to come down. There is risk. Be radically outraged by this world, but respond entirely in the very nature of God. Nonviolent, merciful, peaceful, with a heart sight of God, with radical love. When you put these two ends together, the lifting up of those who God defends and the coming down of those at the very top, there is a way to equalize. There is a way to justice. As Martin Luther King Jr. says, whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. And you can never be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be. This is the interrelated structure of reality. God has created us all wonderfully and beautifully. This is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus shows us the way. The way is always to take the low road, to be the means to the end. Amen.